The information provided on Dr. Tom Rozelle Live by Dr. Tom Rozelle, D.C., interview guests, show co-hosts, or substitute hosts is not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. It is for general information purposes only. Information from this broadcast should not replace the appropriate consultation and examination process by a licensed physician. Always consult your own physician prior to changing any current medical directive or prescription.
Dr. Tom Rozelle Live, right now. On 105.9 FM, WMAL.
Welcome to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. This is Dr. Tom Rozelle. Indeed, I'm live, and you guys are out having fun, aren't you? You're out in the highways and byways and campgrounds and on the beach and enjoying yourself, and good for you. I'm delighted that you're doing it. And for some of you, you know, Labor Day is always the time when we have our last trip for the summer before everybody starts school. For many of you, this is your first trip. You know, you finally decide, hey, enough is enough already, and I'm out there, and I'm enjoying it. Well, have a good time. Enjoy the weather because it's perfect. It couldn't be nicer, and I really want you to make sure you get that done. But you know what? I want to give you some data today. We need to talk a little bit about what really is going on. I've got a couple subjects that are very important. One, we're going to talk about metabolic stress in the second part of the program and how it affects several things, your mood, your anxiety levels, your emotions, and so forth, even heart disease a little bit today. But more importantly, I want to start the program talking a little bit about this big rush, if you will, for vaccines for this COVID-19 scenario. I mean, what you need to know is that this is something that you may want to think twice about. And I want to give you enough data, not only here, but on my website and Facebook page and so forth, as I have it on an ongoing basis. Normal vaccines, we're going to talk about that, you know, straight off the top. Normal vaccines are not very effective. Matter of fact, if you really go in and you go into NIH website, and I trust NIH and Club Med publication far more than I trust the CDC. But if you go into that, you're going to find that the overall effectiveness rate of the vaccine year in and year out, all categories, all age groups, is something in the neighborhood of about 38%. And so when we look at it that way and we realize that people, if you're over 60, 65 years old, the effectiveness rate of a flu vaccine often does not get above 12%, it should stop and make you think that, what am I doing to myself? And then if you look in the journals and you find out what's in these vaccines, everything from aborted fetal tissue to aluminum and mercury and arsenic and so forth, you say, am I putting this stuff in my body? Why would I do that to begin with? This is not necessarily the best thing to do. So let's talk a little bit about this, you know, this urgent need to produce a vaccine. How much of it is political? How much of it is real? How much of it is, you know, everybody's making you think that this problem, this COVID-19, this worldwide shutdown, if you will. By the way, the United States is probably one of the few places left that has actually shut down. Everybody else is protesting. In Germany, you know, there were tens of thousands of people that gathered in Berlin to protest, you know, the shutdown and masking and so forth. And people have said, enough is enough already. And there's this movement around that on September 15th that we're going to not wear masks. Well, I'll let you find out more about that. But I really want to give you more data that's far more important as it's about this vaccine. There's a website that I like to go to for some very decent and well-substantiated, well-organized and bibliography and information, and it's called Natural Solutions Foundation. And it's amazing to me, you know, that we miss these things, and because a lot of it is being set aside. So here's something I want you to think about. If this vaccine even partially works, how's it going to work against the vaccine next year or the flu next year? How's it going to work about this COVID-19 that's going to continue to be out there, or something different? How's it going to work against that? Are we going to continue the process of being vaccinated against everything and putting these attenuated viruses in? Are we going to be the guinea pigs? You, by the way, are the guinea pig with this. You know, they're out there right now. And then those of you who've done the research know that these trial runs with some of these vaccines that are coming about have significant side effects. So this Natural Solutions Foundation published an article on the 5th, which is yesterday, right? And I want to talk about it a little bit. And it's an opinion that's based on a lot of information by a guy by the name of Ralph Fucitola. He's an attorney and one of the people that works with them. So, again, let's talk about this vaccine. And you can see the attitude kind of floating around all over the place. And, you know, they're putting rumors out like, this is the only thing that will save us. And the problem, if you step back, it's barely safety tested. You know, gene editing COVID vaccine, and that's what it is, by the way. It's a gene edited COVID vaccine, just like the COVID-19 was a gene edited coronavirus. Do not fool yourself. That's what it was. And they're talking about tracking chips, you know, these using a new untested DNA modifying technology to, you know, to change the human genome, your DNA, your expression. And so as these people putting out, you know, what could possibly go wrong? I mean, what could go wrong? You know, I think doctors have lost their memories. They've forgotten that they took an oath, and the oath was do no harm. And when you stop and sit and say, what does that mean? Do no harm. That means don't do anything to a patient that would have a potential deadly outcome. And what we're dealing with right now is something that may have a deadly outcome. So, but if the vaccines harm us, in my opinion, hundreds of millions of people, and we have no meaningful legal remedy if that happens, and if a huge number of people die because of the vaccine, and we know that people die from other forms of vaccinations and so forth, just a handy-dandy element for, my opinion, population control. Maybe, maybe not. Just saying, just a thought, right? So you got guys out there like Anthony Fauci and Bill Gates, along with other, you know, other people in those circles. They are avowed. They've talked about depopulation, according to their own statements. It's there. Look it up yourself. Don't believe me. Look it up yourself. But political physicians, and I say that in that manner, political physicians like Fauci, they've forgotten that oath. They've forgotten the do no harm oath. And so subsequently, you know, they're in the spotlight because they have the ability to do two things: control, power, and the second is pad their bank accounts at levels that you and I can't even begin to think about and what that's all about. So, you know, whether they're telling us to mask or not mask, you know, whether they're telling us, you know, to test and make sure you're tested all the time or not test, and it goes on and on and on. The point is, we are being trained right now by the media. Stop and think about it. Regardless of which side of the platform you're on, we're being trained. We are being trained to do whatever we are told to do. It's a subtle agenda, a narrative that's been going on for decades, and now we've got to the place where it's finally there right in front of us. You know, isn't it interesting that the same people who've been telling us that there are too many people on the planet and that the vaccines can help reduce the population now want us all to step up to the plate and take this vaccine? Isn't it interesting? You know, we get stuck in the moment instead of going back and understanding. You know, there was an old friend of mine going back to grade school, and he's a man of the cloth clergy, and he's always taken a shot at our president. And, you know, regardless of whether you're, you know, one side of the political circus you're on or the other, at the end of the day, you know, he's pointing fingers and he's not stopping to understand that, you know, state rights, regardless of where we are, can, at least right now, abdicate anything that presidential order suggests or asserts. And when you have that, you have to start to think about why, what's going on in these individual states? Who's funding, as I've said before, follow the money? Who's funding all these things? Isn't it interesting that these people, these organizations, you know, have begun to be exposed across the world, except for here? And but as they're being exposed and the information's coming out, it's being set aside. And when it's set aside, you don't get to know the data. You don't get to know exactly what it's all about. So although there are large people that have died from all this craziness that's going on, they really haven't died directly, absolutely, from COVID-19. They've died from other conditions or from other horrifying, dangerous treatment of COVID. Think about it this way. The CDC just recently had to admit that 6% of the deaths that they said that were COVID were really related to COVID. That only 6% of that 160-some thousand, whatever the number is at this point, only 6% of those were directly related to COVID and taking people out. Interesting. So what happened to the rest of them? Well, the rest of them were comorbidities. They also said that most of the people had at least two comorbidities. But here's the other piece. We killed a lot of people as well by the way we treated them and how we went after this thing. How is that? Well, we treated them by putting them on ventilators. When you have an air sac called the alveoli within the lung that is highly inflamed and full of mucus, and you're forcing ventilation, you're forcing air into that air sac, you rupture the air sac and it begins to bleed, and the body goes into something called septic shock. And that means systems, organ systems, begin to shut down. So let's step back and let's really look at this the way it really is laying out, instead of just buying into somebody's byline, one side of the platform or the other. Do your homework. You know, you've heard me say forever, make sure that you do your homework. And, you know, when you listen to things, I was listening to Fox News, yesterday, and one of the talking heads opined that the government could force us all to receive the COVID vaccine at any time, based on certain amount of information that's out there. But I don't think that's the case. You know, what's really going down is that if you refuse to take a mandated vaccine during the pandemic, you can be fined. It doesn't say that the agents of the government can pierce your skin without your consent. We really, again, depends, you know, I don't care whether you're right or you're left, everybody's still drinking out of the same Kool-Aid bowl. And you really have to understand what it is that's being purported and why that scenario is being there. If it's apparent or can be shown to be reasonably certain that someone is fit for a vaccination or not by reason of this condition will seriously impair somebody's health or may cause even death, we have to stop and say, wait, you know, you can't force me to do these things. But the Supreme Court indicated that it was not deciding anything about the safety of vaccines. Only the bare question of the extent of the state police power during a pandemic. The courts have told us that all vaccines are unavoidably unsafe. Hear what I just said? And that's a quote. Unavoidably unsafe. So, do we go out and rush and get the vaccine? I'll tell you what, I, for one, Dr. Tom right here is not going to get anybody's vaccine. I haven't had a vaccine since I was, a freshman in college, and then when I was in the Marine Corps, because I had to, but that's neither here nor there. We're going to talk about this. I want to get into it. I want your questions at 888-630-9625. Give me a call. Don't go away. We're coming up from break. I got a lot more for you that you need to understand, you need to know, you need to own. Be right back. Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rozelle here. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. We're here at 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. Love to talk to you. Give me a call. And, you know, we're talking about something very controversial today as you're out there enjoying Labor Day. For some of you, it's your first outing this year. Well, have some fun. The weather's beautiful. Enjoy it. And anytime you have that opportunity, get out there. And what I want to suggest to you is quit being afraid, okay? You're more likely to have a traffic accident to come down with COVID. So at the end of the day, we're talking about some things that a lot of you don't know about, and I want to talk about what is happening. You're being ping-ponged around like crazy right now, setting you up for vaccines that are coming up pretty fast. And as I said, whether you're right side or left side of the political ledger, you know, it's a ping-pong game. It's bouncing, but the truth is not all there. You know, as we said, the Supreme Court indicated that it was not deciding anything about the safety of vaccines, you know, only the bare question of the extent of the state police power during a pandemic. And then later courts told us that all vaccines are unavoidably unsafe. Well, that's just the beginning of the story. We've forgotten about that, right? So there was a Supreme Court finding back in 2013. It was McNeely versus Missouri. And what I want you to know about that is simply said that, you know, more than 100 years after Jacobson, the Supreme Court again made it clear that controlling your body is your right. Interesting, right? McNeely versus Missouri, 2013. Controlling your body is your right. Even, you know, diminished expectation of privacy does not diminish the privacy interest in preventing a government agent from piercing the skin. And that's a quote from that, by the way. And though blood tests conducted in medical settings by trained personnel is less intrusive than other invasions, the court went on to say that this court, quote, has never retreated from its recognition that any compelled intrusion into the body implicates significant constitutionally protected privacy interests, end quote. You need to remember that and understand that, you know, you have to look behind the scenes. So let's talk about Dr. Fauci and you know, what else is Dr. Fauci wrong about? In my opinion, pretty much everything, except that COVID-19 vaccines may very well not work. And he did say that, by the way. His latest idiosyncratic take on medicine is that seeking what doctors call, quote unquote, community immunity, maybe herd immunity, right? Which is mislabeling, you know, when we talk about that herd immunity, but that's community immunity, quite a different thing and a myth. Will protect us from a contagious disease? Well, maybe. Implicitly, you know, the vaccine, only the vaccine is what they're trying to perpetuate, despite the fact that Fauci has stated publicly that the vaccine may not work. And he's said that publicly multiple times. At least this is true. It will not, but it will alter our genes forever, whether it protects us from COVID-19 or not. So when this bug is put into your body, or this genetically altered vaccine goes into your body, it will alter your genetic DNA expression forever, period, end of story, and nobody can tell you differently. Look it up and do the homework. So only when we're allowed to be free to live our lives as normally as possible, allowing our properly supported immune system. Your immune system is there for a reason. It's got to be challenged from the time you're a little kid. That's how you get strong. That's how, you know, you develop things that you need to have to protect yourself. You know, we develop personal and community immunity on an ongoing basis. And, you know, all as we have to, regarding any disease process that has come down the point, the park in years gone by, only irrational and petty, quote unquote, lockdown. And I'm taking this one from a quote that was brought about by the council that we talked about with the Freedom Health Foundation. Rules to prevent those things. Now, here's the situation. I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take it anymore. I don't know about you. But if you sit there like a lemming and you don't do your homework, if you sit there and you let other people direct you and tell you what to do without doing your homework, without questioning it, without questioning me, remember I've said to you many, many times over and over, over again, question everything that you hear, including the things that I tell you here. See, my job is to provoke you to make sure you do your homework and make sure you know that this virus is engineered by your own eyes. Understand that you have the right to control your own body. Understand that there are ways of keeping you well. Why is the United States so problematic with this COVID-19? My opinion. We are over fat. We eat worse than anybody on the planet. We don't get exercise. We sit around. We go from our house to the car to our office. We drink way too much. We smoke a lot. And subsequently, immunological systems are suppressed, and we hurt all the time, and we put up with. Where in the world, other than the United States of America, have you ever seen drugs advertised on television? Take this medication. Call your doctor and ask if it's right for you. Do you think that there's a marketing piece behind that to get you to go on medication, to find the easy way out instead of taking care of yourself? Do you think for 2 minutes that this is a setup game? Do you think that all these biologically altered things that they put into animals, all these things that are coming down on a daily basis, do you think for 1 minute that this is the way it's supposed to be? That's the way our Creator meant your body to express itself? We're going to come back after the break. I have a lot more to give you. We're going to get a little bit about how to protect yourself on a lot of different levels and some other areas of interest. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Dr. Tom Rozelle Live continues now on 105.9 FM, WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rozelle here. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live in studio by a distance. That means over Zoom, and but it sounds pretty good. You know, I'm getting really spoiled because after this craziness all breaks, I'm not going to want to go back to the studio. This is like way too easy. I get to sit here in my office and relax a little bit and have a cup of tea and, you know, do the show just in my sweats. Yeah. Well, you know, fortunately it's not online, but we're thinking about a way of doing that so you can actually see some of the programming as well. Having said that, that was, hopefully a very provocative first part of the program. I want you to understand that you have a lot of rights that may be, slowly, insidiously being set aside. And I want you to do your homework. Find out what is really going on around you. Do your homework. Understand that this thing, that this COVID-19, this genetically engineered problem that came about, and if you do your homework, you're going to find that it's not just 7, 8, 9 months old, 10 months old, that it goes back even further than that. There's a book that if you like to read and like to educate yourself, it's called A Crack in Creation. It's by a woman by the name of Jennifer Doudna. And it'll tell you all about genetic editing. And this is where a lot of this came by. What came out years ago? She's the one that provided the footprint, the fundamental theory application of a lot of what we're seeing today. And this is just the beginning of what is in front of us in health. And just remember and remind your physicians that they took an oath. And that oath is to do no harm. That oath is to support you physically, physiologically, chemically, and also mentally, emotionally. Do no harm. We have to make sure that we respect that oath that we all took the day that we graduated from our schools. And when we deal with our patients on a day-to-day basis, that we give them the best of us. And there's too many people, in my opinion, right now that have their fingers in the proverbial cesspool pot, if you will, and they're doing it for political and for financial reward and control and power. And, you know, when you sit there and you look at it, am I rabble-rousing? No, I'm not. I'm trying to give you the stuff that's out there. I'm trying to provoke you so you'll do your homework. I'm trying to let you know that there are other sources, regardless of whether you're watching the right or the left on television. They're drinking from the same Kool-Aid pots. You need to look beyond that. As I said before, go to NIH and PubMed publication is a good place. I took a little issue with Joe Mercola's site the other day, but generally across the board, he's good. You're going to get some good information. And then go to this other website, the Natural Freedoms Foundation, and look at their information as well, and I think that you're going to be pleasantly surprised of what you can actually put your hands on so you can make decent and supportive decisions for you and your family moving forward. All right, so let's get into the meat of this. I want you to call me at 888-630-9625. Love to discuss anything with you and give you more data if you have to have more data, have to point you in the right direction. It's important that you have all the information that you possibly can. You know, in this crazy time that we're living in, not even now, but moving into this, we all have physiological weaknesses. And unfortunately, as I said earlier, it has a lot to do with our exposures, our stress levels, the things that we're putting into our bodies and so forth. You know, if you watch the commercials on television, you're going to see that hangry, right? H-A-N-G-R-Y, not hungry, but hangry. That's the characteristic of somebody whose blood sugar has dropped and they're biting you. You know, their anxiety level goes through the ceiling. So what we have to do is understand that that has impact. And where did it come from? And how did it get started? Well, stress will do it. But what we're talking about when this hangry behavior, these behavioral changes, you know, that we see with people, you know, you're not yourself, right? You're snapping, you're biting. And this is one of the many symptoms, if you will, of something called hypoglycemia. You know, like diabetes is hyperglycemia. This is hypoglycemia. And we want to make sure that we know what to do about it, because there's no reason, you know, that you should live this way. So, you know, it's easy to laugh at, you know, these commercials out there. They kind of put a smile on their face, but, you know, an adult turning into a sassy teenager due to low blood sugar. But, you know, these symptoms could be a result of something much more serious and not simply missing a meal. And that's what I really want you to understand. Some of the more on point, serious, if you will, diagnostics include things like hypothyroidism and hypoadrenalism and low functioning adrenal system. Liver's not working the way it's supposed to. It's not breaking it. By the way, that's where your blood sugars, for the most part, are stored, liver and the muscle tissue, so the muscles can work immediately, but it's stored in the form of glycogen. And if your liver is not working the way it's supposed to, you can't transport glycogen to turn it into glucose, so your body has the energy that it needs. So you start craving things that you shouldn't be craving. So what we need to look at is, you know, why is somebody allergic to certain types of foods? And foods that are non-carbohydrate based seem to be capable of lowering blood sugar. So if I took you off your carbohydrates and I put you on proteins and lots of vegetables, your majority of your symptoms begin to be modified. There may be other reasons for that. So it's imperative that as physicians and healthcare providers that we look at many factors when it comes to dealing with blood sugar problems. And by the way, as far as I'm concerned, that's the number one problem that we have in this country, as it leads to so many other different things. You know, traditional blood sugar tests really don't show the whole story, because we're looking at something called reactive blood sugars. And that means an up or down, a bouncing up and a bouncing down due to a lot of different things. And, you know, we probably need about a half a day. I presented a program last week to a group of 35 doctors on blood sugar handling as it related to adrenal function and hormone relationships and so forth. And that was very well received, but it's amazing that we don't know more, meaning as a group of healthcare providers, than what we do. So when we look at the body, you know, and we're trying to differentially diagnose a patient, you know, there's a category of patients who have no known, we'll call it pathological or metabolic issues, who still experiences hypoglycemic problem. And there's no indication on normal blood sugar testing. So how is that possible? You know, why, you know, what and why are these patients experiencing what they experience? You know, are these people psychosomatic? You know, do they have a tendency to exaggerate? Or is there a link between the physical stress response and hormonal stress response that we see in many of these cases that we call hypoglycemia? So I want to get into it a little bit. I want to discuss it a little bit with you so you understand it and make sure that you can take some action steps that make a difference. You know, in our nutrition department, Sue and Mary Jane deal with trying to stabilize blood sugar diets on a day-to-day basis. And it's important that we understand that out of control, this can lead to far-reaching scenarios. So let's talk about one little pathway. We talked a little bit about glycogen, okay? And they are susceptible to being converted into blood sugars and so forth. You know, and so it's stimulated by something called epinephrine release from the adrenal medulla, the inside portion of the adrenal glands. And this is stimulated by a place in your brain, and it's called the hypothalamus. So I don't care if you remember those. Just remember that your fight-flight system has a lot to do with this. The reaction, you know, under physiological stress is the same as this ongoing communication between your brain and your adrenal system. And what happens sometimes is that it gets out of control because we're constantly in a state of stress. So when the sympathetic nervous system, you know, has a reaction to fight flight, meaning that, you know, you go into that, oh my God state, there's a tiger after me. And now you got a decision. You're going to either run away from the tiger or you're going to fight it. The same thing happens with anxiety, listening to talking heads on television, the fear patterns that we're going into on a day-to-day basis because of this COVID nonsense. That puts us into this pathway. And so when we understand that and understand that it's all interconnected, we see hormones begin to tank. And then we end up with tachycardia, your heart jumping around. We end up with tremors, weaknesses in the body. We have a greater tendency to panic. Our anxiety levels go through the ceiling. You know, even sweating. You know, we wake up in the middle of the night and we're sweating. We get hot and we get and sweat. And then, you know, again, weakness to the place where we don't feel like our body can do much of anything because we need that adrenaline, if you will, to have strength in their body. This epinephrine is the cause, you know, causes the liver to convert your blood sugar into glucose, or this glycogen storage into glucose, and release in the bloodstream to maintain normal levels. Growth hormone is also released from the brain, by the way, similar to, you know, the other triggering mechanisms, and this causes your fat storage, you know, to be reduced, to convert into sugar, to be able to transport into energy. Okay, did you follow that? So the brain triggers the glycogen release through growth hormone release. And by the way, here's the problem. As we get older, your growth hormone goes down the toilet. You don't get a whole lot of it being produced. So unless you're exercising, you're getting out, you're working out, you're pushing light weights and putting your body under good supportive stress, it's not going to happen. So then what you see is that, you know, when people get hurt, and they get hurt either emotionally or they get hurt physically, the body recognizes it as the same, by the way. So you get an increase in this glucagon storage, glycogen levels, and they occur in response to this nonsense. But what happens is that if you don't have the ability to convert it, your growth hormone is not what it was when you were a kid, right? When you were 15 and 16 and you're building muscle and you're going up until you're about 18 to 20. But now it's not working that way anymore. And now when stress levels go too long, we put on this, what's commonly known as cortisol weight, and it begins to break down other pathways. So what I want you to understand, it's clear that there's both a neurological and systemic application, we can call it mechanism, in the regulation of blood sugar. And we have to look at how all of this is related one to the other. But here's the deal, and this is what I want you to take away from this. These stress patterns that you're going under right now, these anxiety patterns that you're riddled with because of all the nonsense that's on the tube, on the radio, on the paper, and people, you know, going back and forth hating each other, and it's an oh my God world that we're in. This is causing your body to go into this reactive hypoglycemic pattern. It's going to cause your pain patterns to be worse. It's going to cause you not to be able to think rationally. You're going to forget things. Your brain is not going to be what it should be. So back and forth, bouncing between one end of the pile to the other end of the pile, is going to lead you to a place of succumbing. And when I say that, I don't mean death, although, you know, you keep it up over a period of time, your life will be shortened. What is taking place is that you're going to succumb to other disease processes that are dependent on that. Your hormones are going to go away, your libido's down the tubes, you can't put muscle on, your anxiety level goes through the ceiling, you go off to the doc, they put you on other medication, that medication has side effects, And it's a nasty, ugly storm that we begin to create. The good news is it's fixable. It's fixable. You have to fix the nervous system so it begins to communicate properly. You have to restore the body and make sure you're putting in good foods, particularly proteins, lean proteins that are highly consumable. Those are critical that you have those available to you. High levels of mineralization so you can utilize and transport. Make sure your digestive system is working. When you're under stress over long periods of time, your digestive system is not going to work. Your stomach acid is not going to be produced. You know, the majority of heartburn that you have, that GERD, that gastroesophageal reflux disease, that burning sensation, do you know a lot of that has nothing to do with too much acid? In fact, it's the opposite. It has to do with not enough acid, that your body becomes, we call it dry stomach. That means your alkalinity goes through the ceiling. Those of you who are gardeners out there, if you put too much lye, which is alkaline, on your garden, what happens to the garden? It burns up, right? Same thing happens to your stomach. Same thing happens to your digestive system. If you're under stress all the time and you don't find a way to beat that stress pattern, you know, you're going to go. But think about what's happening. You're outside. You're masked up. And you walk across the street because you're afraid, God forbid, I'm going to pass another human being and they're going to make me sick. Well, you got to step back, my friends. We got to take control. We come back after the break. I'm going to give you a couple things that I want you to do and take control of your life. You're listening to Dr. Tom Roszell Live. Don't go away. We'll be right back after some very, very important messages.
Washington's Mall, 105.9 FM, WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Roszell here. You're listening to Dr. Tom Roszell Live, as you do every Sunday in the Mid-Atlantic area at 11 a.m. Eastern Time. It's been an interesting program today. I've tried to give you a lot of data as much as I possibly can, but again, my job is to put you into a position that you do your homework, to make sure that you dig deeply and not just one information source, and then use the brain that God gave you so you can begin to shift things around. There's a woman by the name of Patricia Finn. She's an attorney. She has a blog that says The Good Health Lawyer. So look her up, check it out, see what you can do. Go to the Natural Therapies website as well and get that done. There's so much information out there. You need to make sure that you have the opportunity to make your own decisions. And as doctors, we have the obligation to support you and to educate ourselves on an ongoing basis. I want to go to the phones very quickly. Tom, thank you for holding on. How can I help you, sir?
Yeah, thanks, sir, for taking my call. You were talking a little bit earlier about do no harm. Vaccines, though, are, of course, are designed to try to reduce the amount of morbidity and mortality out there. My understanding of the current vaccines is that their safety profile is actually very good. I haven't heard of any deaths and any serious adverse events. I was wondering what your understanding of the current vaccines that are out there for COVID-19 are from a safety profile standpoint.
So there's several companies that are producing it. And, you know, what I would like to do, Tom, if you have the opportunity, send me a note at through our website at RoszellCare.com, and I can actually send you the data and that you can look at yourself. The situation is that there are a lot of neurological problems that are presenting themselves, even paralysis that have taken place. Again, I'm happy to document that for you, and all you have to do is go to the website, RoszellCare.com. Remind me of our conversation, and I will link you up with several of those. On my Facebook page, all I do is publish things of this nature, and I try to give the data and the resources that are there. This is, you know, the vaccines that are out there, they're all working fundamentally on a genetically edited pattern, and they're these experimental vaccines, you know, are probably going to be out here by the end of the year, and they have their side effects. They are not safe. You know, for me, for one, you're going to have about 2 years of applications and millions of people take this before I'm going to let anybody inject me. And that's my decision based on the information that I know, and I would encourage people to make their decisions based on fact, not based on direction of government or other medical agencies. So as we all get together to learn more and more about these things and know exactly what's behind them, I think we can make our own decisions. But I'm happy to give you the information. If you go to the website, and see if I can give you that in a second. I'm trying to double-handed look at my computer as well as talking with you. But the Natural Health Foundation website and the let's see if I can find it. I can't find it right now. We'll waste the rest of the program doing that. But I'm happy to give you that. But so to my understanding. And I'm going to say that instead of quoting you right now because I don't have it all in front of me, is that neurological problems are coming about. There's some people who have lost their lives very quickly. A lot of this data is coming out of the World Health Organization because the testing grounds have been, again, in Africa and India. India stopped them, by the way. They will not allow them to be done there. So anybody that has any data that is contrary to that, send it to me. Yeah, let's take a look at it. Let's do a comparative analysis. Let's see what we can do to put it together. But again, RoselleCare.com, send me a note. I'm happy to get back to you and send you all the information that I have. And then we can all make a decision accordingly. Try to give you as much data as I possibly can. And it's important that we make our own decisions relative to the things that we will do, that we won't do. We need to understand the safety mechanisms behind this. We need to understand that there's things that will, in fact, increase your immunological response, vitamin D and zinc. And if we want to have an anti-inflammatory that acts as an ionophore in the natural world, there's things like NAC, it's N-acetylcysteine, and also quercetin. They open up the gateway. And as I've said before, that's how a lot of these things work, even the hydroxychloroquine. That opens up the gate so zinc can get into it. But again, I'm running out of time. Would love to give you more information. We'll try it again next week. But go to my website, and I'll give you as much data as I can. This is Dr. Tom Roselle. I love you all. See you next week. Bye.